Now it's time for the Coaches Show with Sterling head coach Clint Wiley on WSHS Sterling High School Radio with your hosts Rob Strauss and Tad Kozineski.
And welcome to another edition of the Coaches Show right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss, Tad Kozineski, and as always, head coach Clint Wiley. And coach, coming off of the Lindenwald game, 42-14. A couple weeks ago, we're coming off the bye week, but tell us a little bit about the offensive explosion in the first quarter with Zaire Gibson, two touchdown runs in the first several minutes of the game.
Yeah, without a doubt. The one nice thing is Rob is we're 3-0 for the first time since 1993. Our kids were focused, and our theme this year is always finish, like I talk about every week. But more than important, to win a championship, you got to be able to protect your house and be able to play well in front of your fans and family. And I thought that's what we did at the beginning of the first quarter. I thought we did a really nice job up front blocking those guys, because Lindenwald brings about 7 to 9 guys every down. They're blitzing us. And the guys up front were able to make some holes there for our running backs to be able to hit them and be able to break a few long ones. But once again, I mean, we rushed for over like 400 yards Friday night against Lindenwald, which was pretty impressive. Last time we did that was last year on Thanksgiving against Collinswood, beating them for the second time in a row in a long time. And we were able to rush for over 400 yards. So anytime you can run the ball for 400 yards, you should be able to win a game. So I was really pleased the way we came out, focused the first quarter. And as the game went on, there were some ups and downs. And, we fought through them. Especially in the third quarter, we came back, and that's when we really opened up the game in the third quarter.
And, Coach, tell us a little bit about that play at the end of the half. And you were up 21-0, and Lindenwald completes a 4-yard touchdown pass to cut the lead to 21-8. Was there really any concern going into the locker room about, oh, my God, these guys are within 2 scores of us now?
Yeah, I mean, there was concern because Lindenwald's got a lot of good athletes. And like we talk about all the time is when you got a team down that you're controlling, you got to keep them down. You can't let them believe that they are good enough to stay in this football game. And that's what we did right before half. It goes back to us when we had the ball on the offensive side of the ball. We're up 21-0. We throw the halfback pass again. Julian Blackshear's wide open in the end zone. Zaire Gibson, instead of him just throwing the ball 15, 20 yards like we talk about all the time, he ends up throwing it 35, 40 yards over top of his head. And then now Lindenwald gets the ball back. Now they drive down the field. They had a great drive, and they score right before half. Now you're letting a team who's 0-2 at the time go in at halftime. Hey, it's 21-8. Now they're starting to believe a little bit, and that was the big message at halftime was, guys, you gave them a chance to breathe. I mean, you think about it. You go into halftime 28-0 or 21-8, and that's when it happened. It really came down to one play, and that's what we stressed at halftime. And then it was really important for us to come out in the third quarter like we did the first quarter and put the nail in the coffin with these guys. And that's what our team did. And that was really nice to see them come out and respond that way right there in the third quarter.
I thought your defense did a real nice job with the fact that you had a very elusive quarterback, mm-hmm. and he was extending plays and extending plays and extending the play. Talk a little bit about how the defense played against a very unique quarterback. Like
right.
That.
I mean, he's very athletic, and he can throw the ball really well. The biggest thing was for us is to keep him in front of us and to be able to tackle in space. And I thought we tackled pretty well in space. We didn't let any balls get over our head, and that's the biggest thing. We didn't feel that they were good enough to take the ball on the 20-yard line and drive, get first down after first down after first down, and then put points on the board. We thought if we could eliminate the big plays sooner or later on a drive, they would end up hurting themselves some way, or we got to come up with a play and stop them on third down to be able to get the ball back. And we managed that throughout the course of the game, except right before half. That's the only time we allowed them to drive down the field and score.
Schulz had talked a little bit during the game about he's really seen a growth in your defensive backs, where he said, like, last year it started like in the West Denver game, they'd start 10 feet, 10 yeah. yards off the ball, and they'd keep going back. He said they're identifying better now. Yeah. They're attacking better now. Can you talk about the growth of your secondary players?
Yeah, which was a major concern of mine coming into the season, because they're all new starters back there. I mean, you got a kid, I mentioned it last week, Hunter Bird, who walked in here as a freshman, never played football before in his life. But he's a kid who's gotten in the weight room. He's done everything we asked of him. Now he's a junior, and he's a starter in our football program. And he's doing really well with one of the corners. Cordell, has done a nice job, and he's a first-year starter also, who's a junior. Those guys, I just think they're doing a really good job of taking coaching, and they finally have some confidence in themselves, and you can see that week in and week out where they're playing with a lot more confidence. And the more confidence you have, the closer you can play to wide receivers. And then on the back end, Richard Carter and Julian Blackshear is doing a really nice job of helping those guys with guidance, because Julian and Richard are one of the few returning starters we have coming on defense, back on the team. So hopefully, this week against Haddonfield, they're going to be tested, because Haddonfield has some receivers that are 6'4", 6'3", and they have a quarterback who likes to throw the ball all over the place. So we'll find out.
Coach, would you consider last game against Lindenwald a good test for what's to come with Haddonfield in terms of your defensive backs and your receivers and everything, because of the we haven't seen a quarterback like Muldrow really all season in quite some time. I mean, that guy could really extend it, like Tad said, extend the play and really sling the ball really wherever he wants. Towards the end of the third quarter, he threw a couple 50-yard ropes down the middle of the field. Just a really dynamic player. So tell us a little bit about how that his quarterback performance.
Yeah, I think it's going to help us definitely. Anytime you get a quarterback at this level that can throw the ball, it's great work for your secondary. And with Haddonfield, they have a kid who can throw the ball. But what Lindenwald doesn't have that Haddonfield does have is they have a running game also, where I don't think Lindenwald really tried to run the ball against us. They were trying to throw the ball first. Where Haddonfield, they're more of a spread you out like Lindenwald, but they have a quarterback who can throw and run the ball. And they also have another, nice, real good running back and fullback. And they try to develop the run game like 50-50.
We talked about having the extra week. You weren't really sure at the time. You had some plans, but what you thought you might do. How did these last 2 weeks shape up for the team in practice-wise and time-wise?
Well, I thought we were smart. We had a JV game on Monday, and our JV team won again, and they were 3-0. They beat Lindenwald, I think, 44-22. So they're 3-0, and then we gave the kids completely off on Tuesday. And then we came back on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and we had full padded practices, and the kids were focused. They were short, hour and a half, two-hour practices. And then we came out of there all right. We lost someone on a Friday just on a – he was diving for a ball. It was Cordell. Cordell fractured his wrist, and we're hoping he's back for the Haddonfield game, but if not, hopefully the West Deptford game. But he has a cast right now. And but other than that, we came out basically just trying to get our kids healthy. Devon Tucker, we rested him two of those days. Tony Pileski, we rested him two of those days. So basically it was a chance for us to go back to the techniques, back to fundamentals, work on the little things, and give some guys who had some bumps and bruises some days off. And then we came back to work on Monday, and we've had a really nice week of practice. Our kids are focused. I mean, especially for this game coming up, Haddonfield. No, I mean, you got both teams are 3-0. You got Haddonfield, number 11 team in South Jersey. You also got a team who we haven't beat since 2005. And you also got to remember last year, 16-13. So there's a lot going into this game. And then the other factor is this is a home game. This is another chance for us to protect our house and for our kids to come out and show our family and friends how good we are this year.
And looking ahead to the conditions, obviously tonight not looking too great in terms of weather. How much did you guys practice over the course of the week leading up to this about ball control and ball safety and just eliminating turnovers?
Right.
You're going to play with a wet ball.
Right, you're exactly right. And we practiced on Thursday with a wet ball. And it was sprinkling a little bit on Thursday, and we went out and we practiced on the field. But we also had a bucket out there with water and dumping the balls in there after every snap. So our center quarterback's getting used to those exchanges and all that stuff. You always worry as a coach when you're playing in the rain, is it going to help you? Is it going to hurt you? The way I look at it, both teams got to play in it. I think it slows us down a little bit playing on a wet surface because I think we have pretty good team speed. But on the other hand, I think it may hurt Haddonfield a little bit throwing the ball, and they're a team that, is 50-50 run and pass, but they throw the ball a little bit more than we do. So I think it slows us down, but it may also hurt their chances of throwing the ball a little bit. But both teams got to go out and play.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe they've had three home games, too.
Correct.
This will be their first game on grass.
Yes.
They've been playing on turf, so I think that's going to take some adjustment on their part.
I agree with you. So hopefully we'll have a great fan base tonight and come out and make this a great home field advantage for us. But I agree with you, Tad. First time they got to come off that nice turf field they have and go on the road for the first time. So this is going to be adjustment for their team.
And you're looking at you mentioned last year's game where Haddonfield won on a nail biter. I believe it was a last second field goal.
Yep, 38 seconds, yep.
Yep, and it was a 16-13 game. Couple penalties that we committed down the road. I mean, yep. the returning players from last year, do they still kind of have that sour taste in their mouth?
Oh, sour taste starts right here with me. 365 days has been preached about all the time. You know, we all need to get better from that game, from the head coach down. That was a game where I told the kids all the time, you don't let your emotions get the best of you. And I allow my emotions get the best of me. It cost me. Cost us two penalties. I put our kids in a bad situation, but they responded, stopped them in the fourth and the third and goal, and then they ended up having to kick a field goal at the end to win the game. But everything we do is life lessons, and that's what we preached about, you know. And it's been harped to these guys all week about how they got to come out and perform, you know, revenge game. 16-13, this team beat you. We created four turnovers last year against them. We scored twice on defense. You know, we played a great defensive game last year to win the game. We had problems moving the ball on offense, and we gave up a special teams kickoff return for a touchdown. So there was a lot of things that we learned that we need to get better. And right now I feel like we're a lot better football team than we were last year at this time.
Can you break down Haddonfield for us? We've only seen Sterling play. You've had mm-hmm. the chance to watch Haddonfield. You've seen him on tape. Tell our fans what should we expect offensively and defensively from Haddonfield.
Well, Haddonfield has a lot of guys returning from last year's team that was 6-4. They're well coached. Their coach has been there, done a nice job building, turning that program around. Their kids play really hard. They're a physical group of kids that fly around to the football. They're on offense. They're gonna spread you out a little bit to run the ball. They have a quarterback who can run and throw the ball. They also have a nice, you know, they have. One thing about Haddonfield is you're going to see a lot. You're going to see anywhere from 40 to 50 different formations. And that's the one tough thing as a defensive coach is you don't overwhelm your kids and say, hey, you got to defend every formation. That's why our defensive package is going to be very small tonight, where our kids, I don't want our kids to be thinking out there. That's what Haddonfield does. Haddonfield did a great job against Woodbury, where they were outmatched athletically against Woodbury. But what they did was they did a lot of formations, a lot of motion, all that stuff. So it slows the athletes down because they're thinking, not playing. And that's the one thing I'm trying to eliminate for our guys, so we can just go out and play and use our athletic ability to our advantage, not slowing them down. So when you see Haddonfield on offense, you're going to see two tight ends on the field, two running backs. Then you're going to see no tight ends on the field, five wide receivers. You're going to see a lot of different formation, a lot of motioning, a lot of trading of the tight end, throw the ball, but also maybe have the quarterback run the ball. So you're going to see us run only about two or three defenses. So hopefully our kids, you know, are focused in and they can go out and play. I don't want them to be thinking. And then on defensively, I think that they're pretty good on defense. I mean, they fly around to the football. They're going to play a five-man front. Two linebackers inside are really good. Their defensive line do an excellent job of playing with their hands, you know, keeping the offensive linemen off their linebackers. Their defensive scheme is all they need to hold the offense. The defense linemen need to hold the offensive linemen up so their linebackers can run and make plays. And, you know, once again, I mean, they're well coached. The kids play hard and they're physical and they believe. You know, there's a program where those kids believe every time they take the field, they're going to win the game. No matter if they're outmatched athletically, speed wise, or anything like that, they're going to go out and play. And that's the thing we got to overcome tonight is, hey, we can play just as well as them, and we can beat this team tonight, but we can't forget about what's taken place in the past. What happened in the past should motivate us tonight to go out and defend our field, but we can't continue to think, oh, well, this is Haddonfield. We can't win this game. That's what happened the first year when we played them. First year when I was here, we opened up the kickoff. We fumbled the ball. They get the ball on our 10-yard line. We run a quarterback sneak. Marcus fumbles the ball. They get the ball on a 7-yard line. They score a touchdown on that team that I think won the state championship that year. And next thing you know, we're down 28-0. Within the first, you know, like 2 minutes into the second quarter. Then we came out in halftime, and we ended up winning the second half. You know, but our kids, they were in that old mindset, hey, this is Haddonfield, we have no shot to win. I think our kids are over that. I just hope we don't allow them or our kids get back in that same thought process, because this is a game right now. It's a great opportunity. That's all you ask for, is to have an opportunity like for a fourth payday. And that's what we talk about. This Friday is going to be our fourth payday.
I want you to take us in the huddle a little bit defensively. Mm-hmm. You talked about how the kids are having a base set that they're going to go with. Is there a lot more pressure on you as the coach and the defensive coaches where you have to see the formation and kind of
right. –
are you yelling out some things to kids at that point, what you think is going to happen? Or how is
yeah,
that
you always do that as a coach. But the toughest thing for us tonight, and hopefully will help us is seeing their personnel, you know, from the sideline, seeing if two tight ends are coming off the sideline, or now we still have time to signal in the defenses, because there are certain defenses we like to have when they have two tight ends, two running backs on the field. I call it 22 personnel. You know, when they have their big guys on the field, there are certain defenses we run. And then when they have their more skill guys on the field, then there's other defense we're going to do. So we have to do a great job communicating from upstairs in the press box down to the field, and then me signaling in the defenses and putting our kids in the best position possible. You're not going to defend everything they're going to do, you know, but all you got to do is keep things in front of you. Hopefully we tackle well, we get off blocks, and we eliminate the big play. And that's the key to anything. Like I talk about every week, turnovers, third down, you know, and tackle.
Coach, looking at the stats on both of these teams, two very, very similar teams, not even just from a record standpoint, obviously both teams at 3-0, but also from a standpoint of similar running backs. You look at Zaire Gibson for us, 31 carries, 257 yards, four touchdowns. They have a running back in DeFeo, 43 yards, 321 yards, and four touchdowns. Even the offensive-defensive stats are very, very similar over the course of the season. Mm-hmm. Who do you expect to be the X factor going into this game?
You know, I mean, I think the X factor.
Or what aspect? Yeah, I mean, maybe not a person, but maybe an aspect
of
the game.
Well, I mean, home field, our fans, our family, our people getting excited around here. You know, you got a chance for a team to go 4-0, then go into the following week. You just upset the South. Hopefully tonight, we're sitting here, we're 4-0 at Sterling High School. When's the last time that been done? 1993. All right? Now you got a chance. You just upset the number 11 team in South Jersey. Now you're going next Friday at West Deptford, playing the number 3 team in South Jersey on CNA television. So everybody in Philadelphia, South Jersey, this game's broadcast for millions of people to watch Sterling High School. Oh, my God, where's this program been? Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, this is a great opportunity, how far we've come in 2 years, to get this team on basically, I call it national television, for local, you know, CNA. I mean, this program's come a long way. So, I mean, to me, when it comes down to the X-Factor, should be the student body, should be the family, the friends, everybody out here in this community should be out this game tonight wearing their blue.
And they're blue. They're blue rain slickers too, probably.
Yeah,
it's definitely going to be interesting. Now, if you could script out the beginning of the game the way you'd like to see it happen from an X's and O's standpoint, what are you looking for to get Sterling off to a good start tonight?
It all starts up front. I say this every week. It's like a tape recorder. Stop, rewind, play, all that stuff. But I mean, it starts up front. I mean, how physical are our kids up front to be able to get in? Our offensive linemen to be able to get into the Haddonfield kids, and can we knock them off the ball? If we can knock them off the ball, then it should be a good night for our offense, and vice versa. When they have the ball, is our defensive line controlling the line of scrimmage, or is Haddonfield controlling the line of scrimmage? Because when it comes down to games like this, you mentioned, Rob, with all these guys, all these stats, they got good running backs, we have good running backs, they have a good quarterback, we have a good quarterback, they got receivers, we got receivers. It comes down to the big guys up front. Nobody really talks about the big guys, but they're the ones always determine if you win or lose the football game. And that's where it comes down to, especially on a wet surface where it's a little muddy, a little slowed down. I mean, teams are going to have to run the ball a little bit, and it comes down to our guys. And I feel really good with our guys up front. They've worked hard, and they're getting better week in and week out, and that's what I'm excited for. I'm excited for to see where we're at as a program if we're tough enough, if we're tougher than Haddonfield. I couldn't come off the field 2 years ago when we first played them here and say we were tougher. They were tougher than us. You know, but last year, you know, we did a good job of stopping those guys up front. You know, we just didn't put all three sides of the balls together. You know, we played okay on special teams, but gave up a touchdown. But defensively, we dominated the game, but offensively, we didn't.
Again, talking about setting the tone early, I'm interested in your thoughts on this one. You know, and we taped this the day before the game. Mm-hmm. You win the toss. Who are we looking to put on the field first? Are we going to go offense or defense based on what your thoughts are right now? And if you have a reason why, I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, I always want to take the ball. You know, I always want to set the tempo because I always say it's an opportunity for your kickoff return team. That's an offensive play the way I always look at it. You know, hey, give us the ball. Let's set the tone right now. Because if you sit back and you wait, my opinion, I'm not saying I'm right on this, but my opinion, you all will get the ball in the second half. Well, to me, let's dictate the outcome of this game in the first half. Let's take it right now. I mean, we're strong on offense. So, I mean, I want the ball. I think our kickoff return unit is pretty good, you know, and that's a great offensive play. That could be a 20, 30, 40-yard play like Haddon Township. Start off the tempo right there, right off the game. Set the tone, you know, taking it back for a touchdown. And then now you're getting your kids out there an opportunity to start moving the ball, to start to feel good. And to me, it's like rhythm, just getting your guys into a rhythm and going there. So, I mean, that's how I feel about it. we'll see. It depends on the weather. It depends on the wind. You know, if it's, I mean, the wind's really bad, extremely bad. And the, I mean, it's wet, it's rainlocked. I may elect to kick off to hopefully pin them down. And then now you play a field position battle. That's all it was last year. Last year was a huge field position battle. And the difference in the field position helped us a lot with Marcus Taylor kick punting-wise. He did an excellent job. He averaged over 45 yards a punt last year against those guys. And to me, that's what it all comes down to. All big games come down to the big guys up front and special teams. You know, who's going to make the difference on special teams?
And, Coach, last question, then we'll let you go. What is the your experience? How much of the your experience at Villanova and your college experience did you hand down to these to your you know all of your players leading up to this game in terms of the weather and protecting the ball? Is there any particular experience that you handed down to them? At any words of wisdom?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this the other day. It's just the mental aspect. This is all mental. I don't care what kind of weather you play on, if it's chilly, snow, and sunny. It's all mental. Okay, we got to take care of them. We got to coach them. That's why we play. We practiced the other day with a wet ball. And to me, it's about taking care of it. If you go out there in a mindset, oh, man, it's cold, it's rain, and all that stuff, you can't win that battle. To me, it's all about getting focused, getting your mindset, and, hey, I'm going out there no matter what it is. If it's pouring down rain or if it's sunny, I got to get my mindset and stay focused. To me, I worry about weather conditions, kids not being focused, okay, worrying about the other stuff, stuff you can't control. If it rains tomorrow and it pours, so be it. Both teams got to play in it. But what team is focused? You know, and I'll use the example you mentioned about my Villanova days. The year we won the national championship, we played New Hampshire up in New Hampshire. It was a windy day, like 35 miles an hour of wind. I'm talking about guys were punting the ball, and the ball was blowing backwards. And they end up beating us that day, okay? Don't quote me on this, but it's the only game we lost that season. It was like 42-35. It was a game that we probably should have won. But whatever happened, we were on the road. We lost that game. All we wanted was to play that team again. Well, we had the opportunity to play those guys again in the second round. They had to come to our place. It was snowing. So anybody that knows anything about New Hampshire, you would say, oh, my God, they have the advantage. It's snowing. They're used to playing in the snow. But our kids were mentally focused, and they wanted revenge on that team. We went out and punched them in the mouth, and we ended up beating them. Don't quote me on this, but like 42-0. You know what I'm saying? So, but to me, it wasn't about the – and it was a snowstorm, there's snow and everything else like that. It was about our kids being focused. The mindset, the drive, the desire to beat somebody, and nobody's going to stop you. And I hope that's what our kids have tonight when we go into Hanfield.
All right, Coach, thank you very much. Marquee matchup coming up in just a couple minutes here. 2-3-0 teams going to battle it out at the Castle. As always, Coach, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Go Knights.
All right, that'll do it for the Coach's Show. We're going to get off to a quick break. When we get back from the break, we're going to get back to live action right on the field. And you're listening to WSHS, Sterling High School Radio Coach's Show. We're back with live action right after this.